It is Locked On Jazz for a Monday post-game Jazz Nuggets immediate reaction edition. Donovan Mitchell puts together one of the greatest performances in Jazz playoff history and in any playoff history, and the Jazz lose in overtime, 135-125. It is Locked On Jazz. But pow! I can't give you a half-hearted sad. I mean, it sucks to lose this game. Winning this game would have been mammoth, obviously, but I still got to give you a real drum roll. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan each and every day. We are live on Twitch, Facebook, YouTube, Periscope for you. Please put in your questions. Also on Instagram at DLock09. So we'll put it all out there for you. Get your questions, get your reaction. That's the main point of this. I'll rewatch the game tonight and give you tomorrow's Locked On Jazz. Will be kind of the detailed, geeky breakdown. This is a lot of the emotion. Let me give you a few thoughts right out of the chute, and then we'll get to your comments and your questions and all that. Number one, unbelievable performance by Donovan. I mean, that's what stars do. That's what the playoffs is all about. For him to be able to bounce back, remember, he had a terrible playoff series against Houston last year, to have that kind of game, one of the third largest scoring output game in the history of the NBA in the playoffs. He was just unreal and absolutely remarkable. It is a bummer of a loss because with Mike Conley out of the bubble, you know, a win just stretches the series. Like, I mean, we obviously prove you can play with him and everything else. In fact that, you know, they went 22 of 41 from three is a pretty unusual circumstance. So it took them to be superhuman and do amazing things to be able to get ahead of Donovan in his 57-point performance. But the bummer is you win that game and it just pushes a series along and Mike Conley gets back in the bubble and then you're back at full strength here at some point. And so I think that's, you know, obviously that kind of superhuman performance, that kind of to not win that game and to be in any playoff game you lose. But this adds on to it because to some extent what you're trying to do is just stretch this thing out so that Mike can get back and you can get at full strength. And we saw what we knew was going to be vital in this playoff series, the Jazz advantage, having three different guys that can play pick and roll and go find the defender that they wanted to go against, whether it's Jamal Murray or Michael Porter Jr. or Monty Morris because he's smaller. And the Jazz were able to do that throughout the game and go at those matchups and have great success with that. And so you could see what the value of Mike Conley would have been in this game and be able to stretch it out. The flip side is just give Denver some credit. Jamal Murray was amazing. I mean, amazing late. I think he and Jokic, they ran the same play for 10 straight minutes, basically. That's what they do. That's what their data says they're going to do. That's what every preparation said they were going to do. And they came at you every single time with the exact same play, one after another, after another, after another. And, you know, so much of the focus on Jokic, he's the clutchest player in the league statistically over the last 3 years, and yet it was Jamal Murray making the plays late. That two-man combo, they learned it last year. He had 34 points twice against Portland in major games. And then, you know, frankly, for Murray to bounce back, he was 4 of 18 in Game 7 last year and lost that game to Portland. For him to be able to bounce back and have that big a game at that big a moment, give him a ton of credit. Both teams were missing. Like, they're missing Gary Harris. They're missing Will Barton. We're missing Mike Conley. We're missing Bojan Bogdanović. Both teams are short. We're missing two of our top four or five. They're missing two of their top seven. And everyone stepped up, and the stars made plays. Incredible game. A few other quick notes, and then, as always, I'll take the first segment and then open it up for you guys after the first little note or two. The decision to start Juwan Morgan. I mean, you talk about a coaching staff knowing their players. Like, where'd that come from? We all debated. I got tipped to that yesterday and was like, wow, what a move. And they were right. They love Juwan Morgan. They've loved Juwan Morgan this whole time. The organization, remember, he was a reserve 10, which means he was anyone could have picked him up. He was on the Stars, but he could have been picked up by anyone. And they absolutely loved him. They signed him to an NBA contract. He never, I think, was on a two-way at any point all season long because they didn't want to have any chance of losing. You can't lose him on a two-way, but because they put him on an NBA contract, and then they just believe in him. They believe he's going to be able to shoot the three. They believe he's going to be able to play four or five. They have the front office and the coaching staff have a great vision on players like this. And that's what Juwan Morgan, 25 minutes, his first NBA start. He ends up starting the overtime. I mean, incredible. Royce's foul trouble was a big issue tonight. That's what led Joe Ingles to being guarding late. But frankly, Joe Ingles, you know, on some, depending what the play call is, it's pretty interesting. I've got some data for you. You either want Joe Ingles or Royce O'Neal, but you don't know what they're going to do. Joe Ingles is a much better defender of handoffs than the pick and roll. Royce O'Neal's a much better defender of the pick and roll than he is of handoffs. And so, frankly, maybe Denver knows this, and so they go and they work these things. Overall, just an unbelievable performance by the guys. I mean, Donovan was superhuman and as good as you can be. They battled. They're shorthanded. They gave it their all. You know, and I'm sure that each one of – this is where the bubble's going to get tough. Each one of the guys is going to go back to their locker, their hotel room, and the walls are going to confine on them, and they're each going to remember their moment, right? Donovan's going to remember the eight-second call. I mean, it's mammoth. I mean, we can all love Donovan. We don't have to – like, you can love your son, but still, like – admit occasionally when they make a mistake, right? Like 146 left, up by four. He's exhausted. He's superhuman. He's been amazing. And oops, like that's a big play. If we score on that possession, the math gets really, really bad on them. Not to say that they would score, but you know, even if you just get the average point, you're now up five. Like, oh, that's just a bummer. But the free throws late by Donovan was just incredible. 47 of the Jazz 97 shots are threes. So you see they've learned how to play this style. They've rebuilt who they are. They've reformed their game. It matches. And, you know, Rudy caused Jokic a ton of problems down below. The key number to me in this series, sorry, I'm now babbling, but the key number to me in this series is Jokic's assists. They came in 7-7 this year. If Jokic had four or fewer assists, he only had three assists, and one of them is that incredible baseball pass that got over Joe Ingles. And, you know, when you look at that, like, that's a huge – that means that Rudy's holding Jokic and, you know, preventing him from getting other plays to everybody else on that team. That's a big deal. Now they're 8-7 on it, but and Jokic was incredible. Sorry, the Jumbotron is changing, and so my screen changes as well. You know, Jokic was amazing, but Rudy was great on him. And I'll give Jokic some credit here. That we have not seen a lot of players in the NBA who – end up with going at Rudy multiple times, being affected by it, and continually attacking Rudy. We just don't see that very often. In fact, the matter is that usually when guys go in at Rudy two or three times in a row and get bothered the way Jokic was, they stop going and they play a different game. And Jokic didn't do that today. That's what an all-NBA player is. This was star shining. This was the best in the world playing. This was incredible. It sucks to lose. It sucks to lose more because Conley's out of the bubble. And in that sense, it was an important win for the Jazz to be able to pull off because it stretched it out. It sucks because Donovan had 57 and was superhuman. It sucks because somehow Denver, who is 27th in the league in three-point attempts, decided to take 41 of them and make 22. It sucks because Jamal Murray was unbelievable. But this was a great basketball game. I think the Jazz proved they can play with Denver. You know, ESPN had 16 of 16 guys taking Denver before Jokic, only Kevin Pelton, before Woodward, only Kevin Pelton and Eric Woodward kind of, Woodyard said it was going to be close. So I thought that was it. And tip your hat, Jamal Murray was amazing. All right, that's my opening scene setter. We'll get to your questions, your comments, your thoughts on this. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Chevy, located out in Woods Cross, right up the street. The incredible Silverado, incredible Colorado trucks, the great SUV lineup of the Blazer, the Equinox, the Traverse is the bigger one of the group. Go check it all out at Murdoch Chevy. They'll give the Murdoch Sure program for you as well to make sure that you get the perfect experience. If you don't want to go out and have contacts and be in that setting, they'll bring the car to you, let you do the test drive at home. If you're going to head over to Chevy, give me an email at dlock09@gmail.com. I'll set up a VIP meeting for you beforehand with Murdoch Chevy there in Woods Cross. All right, let's get to your questions, your thoughts, your comments as much as anything here on the live stream. We are live for you on YouTube, Periscope, Facebook, Twitch, all available for you on Locked On Live. We're also available on Locked On Sports. Let's go to Lee. Lee, I really hope they win Wednesday. Kind of a must win, in my opinion. You know, I agree with you. This is like looking ahead a little bit. But in the bubble, I think there's going to be – you don't want to go down 2-0 or 3-1. You don't have that home court that kind of – that brings you back. I actually think some of these games are going to get big early. And without Mike Conley, the fatigue factor is going to be awfully tough for us. Colin, that was from Lee on Periscope. Let's go to Colin on Facebook. Well, dang, good game. Heartbreaker. They lost the way Donovan went off. That's the it factor. Donovan has got the it factor. We've just never had a guy in Utah like that. Malone was, you know, one of the great of all times. We never had the it, this element to him that is Donovan, that is the Adidas shoe, that is the Don one, that is the star. I mean, and he just has an aura to him. I've said this about Donovan in all aspects of life. I joke with him all the time that he's taking a huge pay cut because he would be the CEO of some major company. He has that special leadership skill. He has that special element to him. That's what makes Donovan so absolutely fabulous. And you saw it on the floor tonight. He wants to increase his leadership. He wants to bounce back from last year's playoff. He wants to do all those things. He's just amazing, you know, just truly, truly amazing. 57 points today. Only Elgin Baylor, 61. And only 63 by Michael Jordan with Chicago against Boston, I think in a loss as well in that one. And Donovan only had two in the first half. And now what's going to be really interesting on the data, we talked about this coming in, Donovan was 5 of 20 against Torrey Craig. He was pretty good against everybody else. Craig got in foul trouble early. Donovan was 1 of 5 in the first quarter, so suddenly Donovan was 5 of 25. Donovan got Jeremy Grant on him for three possessions and just started schooling Jeremy Grant. Then he got rolling. Then he got Craig into foul trouble. And then he just torched everybody else. I'm going to be really interested to see the data when it comes out on player tracking of who guarded Donovan and what his numbers were. Because I actually think that Torrey Craig might have still had success on Donovan, but he got everybody else. And when you're in a playoff series, that's the kind of next level stuff. The same thing, the Jazz went at Michael Porter Jr. every play. And as great as he was, 13 points and 8 rebounds in 31 minutes, they kind of played him off the floor, and Monty Morris was their answer as another shooter. They have to have shooting out there because they don't have a ton of shooting on that roster other than Michael Porter Jr. and Morris. Those are their two best shooters. Let's go to Instagram. What do we need to do, keep doing, or do differently to win game two? We made a nice adjustment first half to second half where I thought protected against the three a little bit more in the second half, and we were so conscious early to protect the paint that I thought we almost gave them too many open look threes. I thought some of our closeouts were brutal, frankly. Or two closeouts back to back in the first half, hands down, feet shuffling. I just thought were bad closeouts. One off an offensive rebound. And so that's got to be fixed a little bit, just little things. You're not going to get that kind of performance from Donovan, but you've got to get some other things. You know, the offensive rating on both sides today was through the roof. Denver was a 128.8, so we've got to defend better than that. Donovan's was the Jazz was a 119.3. I do think that offense in the bubble playoffs will be better. I'll slow down here at some point. I think that offense in the playoff bubble will be better. I think crowd initiates defense and gives defense energy. And so we'll see on that. A bunch of people about Joe Ingles guarding Murray. Remember, Royce O'Neal had 5 fouls. So I don't think Royce O'Neal was, you know, you had, if you're going to try to keep Royce O'Neal on the floor, you're going to Joe. You're also deciding that at 6'7", you're going to Joe in that setting because you think he's going to be able to do well. And frankly, let me see if I can find you some notes on this. Since I have notes on everything right now. All right. Jazz defense. Okay. Royce O'Neal and Rudy Gobert are in the top 5 in the NBA in pick-and-roll defensive combination, but Royce O'Neal ranks 81st out of 100 on handoffs. Ingles ranks 93rd percentile, third out of the 100 players who have been in the most handoffs. He's the third best defensive player. So if you think they're going to be doing handoffs, you got to be going with Joe Ingles. And if you think they're going to be playing pick-and-roll, you go with Royce O'Neal. Now, I don't know if the coaching staff has that and believes in that, but that's what the stats say and the numbers on that. So there's a, you know, Joe Ingles on guarding handoffs is the, of the 100 players in the most handoffs this year, Joe Ingles is the third best. Give Jamal Murray credit. I bet if we go back and look at those shots, which I will, that those are tough, tough, tough looks. How do we reduce the turnovers in clutch time? I mean, I think we were just exhausted in the overtime. I think we had just hit, you know, I think we ran out of gas in the overtime. In the, what do we have? Turnovers in the final 5 minutes. Donovan had one that went out of bounds. We had the 8-second violation. So we did not have, and then turnover in the overtime was ridiculous. But I think we just, that built on itself. So we had, We had two turnovers in the final 5 minutes, which isn't great. One of them is the 8-second call. We didn't shoot that well, so I can improve. That can improve, but we won rebounding by a good margin, and I'm not sure that's sustainable. We did take the ball away from Donovan and run sets. Why did we take the ball away from Donovan and run sets at the end? Well, I thought we ran with Joe. I mean, at some point, you got to give the guy a break. Though they didn't give Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic a break. It's interesting. Denver plays one of the slowest paced teams in the league in the clutch. And I almost think it's to preserve their energy and their, because they're running the same thing almost every single play. And so I find that might be, you know, it's interesting that they do that. And I think that that's, you know, part of it. I mean, here we go to our questions again from Damon on Facebook. Don's load is so heavy with our offense, with Bogey and Mike. Great game, great call. Thanks, appreciate it. It was fun to call. I'm just relaying their brilliance. But Donovan, I mean, that's our offense, right? Like, Jordan's doing some things, Ingles. But our second best offensive player is Jordan Clarkson at this point. And so you're going to Donovan every time. Murray and Jokic are going at you every single time, at least with some help. There's a lot to it. I thought there's a lot to this game. It'll be fun to go back and rewatch it. I thought we saw playoff coaching already. I thought you saw Quinn's impact. I know Quinn has some ideas of what we might be able to do to impact that handoff, and they didn't run it yet. So we'll see, you know, what various things they can try to come up with and ideas. It's a very difficult play to stop. I mean, you bring a third guy, and there's somebody slashing to the basket unguarded behind on that pick. So if Jokic has the ball at the top, and you bring a third guy, whoever's third guy, that guy is immediately going to the rim. Jokic is at 18 feet and just hits you with that pass, right? So there's nothing easy about being able to get that done. That's not a great defensive answer to this. I mean, the easy answer is you can't let them run the same play over and over and over and over again. But I do think it's a difficult way to deal with it. Let's go to Taylor. That 8-second call shifted everything. I've never seen such an impactful 8-second call. Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, on a 57-point game by Donovan Mitchell that was that brilliant, it did. You're absolutely right. It absolutely did. Crazy as that is. But we were up 4 with 1:46 to play. And at that point, if Donovan goes and makes that play, that's it. Zero off-season additions played tonight, says B-Train from Periscope. Yeah, not only that, Derek Favors left, right? Like, Juwan Morgan played the Derek Favors role today. Pretty well, actually. In the last 2 minutes, can we throw a double team at Murray once he's dribbled for a few seconds, kind of like what teams do to Lillard? He was killing us in the two-man game with Jokic. You know, I think you got to go back and look at those shots. First of all, Jamal Murray was insane. He went like 7 of 7 late. Like, he's not going to do that again. So to some extent, you have to decide, like, are those shots – you got to go back and not look at the end result and decide, as those shots are going up, are those shots you're all right with him taking? Jamal Murray is an off-the-bounce three-point shooter, hits 32% of his threes. He was 6 of 9 from three today. It seems unlikely that he's going to be able to do that every single time. Jokic, you know, what are you trying to prevent? Jokic goes 4 of 7 from three. Jokic is like a 30% three-point shooter. I mean, they had an incredible game also. Like, at some point, you tip the hat and say, like, wow, they were truly amazing out there. Cliff with a great line. Game 2 on the road is always the one you can get. It's Locked On Jazz. We are live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch. Send in your questions, your thoughts, and your questions. It's a live reaction show. Today's show is brought to you in part by Homie. Homie's doing great things in the real estate world to save you money. So the way it works is, you know, 6% for everybody, right? Like, that's what everyone's used to and dealing with. Well, Homie's decided that they're not going to do it that way. They're going to change the way the game is being played, and they're going to give you save you money on each and every opportunity. Go to homie.com, find out more, which you can find out from Homie, and see what they've got coming your direction. As Homie is changing the way real estate is done, looking at the world from the consumer standpoint instead of the agent standpoint, and all the same features and everything else to it. Selling houses faster than they are than the average house, and selling them for more than the average as well. That's all at homie.com. All right, let's continue. Get more of your questions. Royce is killing us. 3 points in overtime. Need more out of him. Well, you know, part of what Royce's brilliance is that Royce's ability to be a low usage player on the offense. You know, 1 of 6 shooting isn't great, obviously. 1 of 3 from three. But remember, part of the brilliance of Royce is that Royce is going to go guard, hopefully, Jamal Murray some in the series, go deal with him in some of those matchups along the way. I don't know on the live stream whether I'm still coming through totally because I've frozen up, so I can have a hard time getting to some of those questions and seeing what's going on. I think I overloaded my computer with too many different things taking place right now. So we'll continue over on YouTube. When do we sign Don to a 20-year contract? We give him a max contract in the offseason and a max extension, and then we hope then the next time through at 7-year mark is when we have to really worry about things. When does Conley come back, and will that help the Jazz in a positive way, or will it take away? I think it will help the Jazz in a positive way in the sense that it's another pick-and-roll ball handler. He's averaged 20 points a game against the Nuggets in what he was doing. And so I think that, you know, in that sense, I think it'll be a very helpful thing for the Jazz because they can continue to find matchups. It's another score. You're relieving the burden. Once he returns to the bubble, it's 4 days from everything I've heard. Now, I don't know. Is he coming back to the bubble tonight? Then you might be able to have him by game 3 if he gets enough tests. I don't know what Mike's – you know, it's up to Mike, right? What does he and his family think is the right time? That's where this win would have been so incredibly valuable to the Jazz. If they could have gotten this win, it could have given them the opportunity to keep Mike out there to stretch the series. Like, now you go down 0-2, you bring Mike back, you have to win 4 out of 5. That's awfully hard. If you could have got today and then Mike comes back, you're in a much, much better situation. So that would have been really nice. Happy to see the way we battled. Jamon Morgan gave us some great minutes. Pleasantly surprised, says Nate Lundberg, 94. Yeah, Jamon Morgan, give the coaching staff amazing credit. How'd they know Jamon Morgan? All of us would have gone Jarrell Brantley. All of us would have gone Mia One. You still might see Mia One. I'm not sure about Emmanuel Mudiay's 10 minutes and whether that might become Mia One minutes at some point. But, I mean, I sent out the tweet yesterday. Like, we're still short 30. You can take everyone to all these minutes. You're short, like, 35 minutes of playing time. George Niang played 20 minutes, only the third time his career has ever played 20 minutes in a game. And went 3 of 6, 7 points, 3 rebounds. You know, they go at him defensively every time, and those are not good shots. He does a good job of forcing people into bad shots. I'll give him credit for that. We've talked about it a lot. I just don't think he's as bad a defender as he gets labeled for along the way. Tuned in at work. Love the call. Thank you very much, Kev. Appreciate it. We didn't shoot too well, so we can improve. Oh, no, that was the – I already got that one from Life. Our late game turnovers, I got that for you. Sorry, running through all this. Joe can't guard Murray. Why is Joe guarding Murray? Why not Royce? Because Royce had 5 fouls, and I just gave you the whole rebounding or the whole different numbers. No One or Brantley. Do we see One over Mudiay in game 2? I just brought that up. That's from Will. Maybe. You know, let's remember, they're second-round draft picks, you know, inexperienced. You know, credit to Jawan Morgan. I mean, I do think that the setting is going to make it easier for young players to play important minutes in this game. There's not 19,000 people on you. There's not an OS factor. Your sphincter's not tight. Like, oh my gosh, I can't make a mistake. So I think you're going to see younger players have a larger impact on games in the bubble, in the playoffs than we've seen in years past. I think that's was good. I think that's an important part of it. Those T's on Clarkson and Coach Q seem quite consequential. Yes, if you don't believe in the butterfly effect. I do think that, you know, there's a butterfly effect, all these things. So I do think that there's some level where possibly that's, you know, we don't exactly know what would have happened along the way. Same way we don't know what would happen if Donovan didn't have, you know, for all we know, Donovan turns that ball over because he's tired and that's why he was grabbing a breath. On the 8-second call, and they take it the other way, right? And Jamal Murray hits a pull-up three. We're in the exact same situation. But that does feel big, right? 1:46 left, an 8-second call feels awfully big. Royce needs to guard Jamal Murray at the end of the – yeah, I mean, he also had 5 fouls, people. Like he fouls out of the game, and suddenly you're playing Jawan Morgan or probably in deep playoff minutes at that point. So you're really trying to avoid having Juwan Morgan not, or you not having Royce O'Neal not foul out of the game. How do I think Donovan feels right now? I mean, I think that 8-second call is going to nod him. I also think he knows he had one of the great single performances by an NBA player of all time. And so it just gives him confidence, but he cares about winning. But in his heart of hearts, like deep down, he's going to be frustrated that they lost. He's going to be embarrassed about that call. And in his heart of hearts, he knows he was brilliant. This is the other thing about the bubble. What gets really interesting here is now these guys are walking around town and everyone's asking, they're walking around the bubble and everyone's going to, everywhere Donovan goes, unbelievable, 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 unbelievable. Like there's a whole different element to how this all works now with the bubble and the interactions that changes this whole thing. Thanks very much for tuning in. This has been a special edition of Locked On Jazz. I'll rewatch the game and give you more detailed numbers, analysis, breakdowns, all the other stuff tomorrow, as you'd expect. If you have any questions, you can send them to me at Locked On Sports. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll be back with you Wednesday on our call. All sorts of fun stuff. If you didn't catch it, I did Roundup with JP Chunga at the Utah Jazz podcast. We had a fun time talking about this series. A lot of it's still relevant, and we talked about how we call games and things like that. So if you're interested in that, that's still out there as well. Have a good one. Locked On Nuggets with Adam Morris and Matt Moore is a super show. You can get their perspective on the game by telling your smart device to play the most recent episode of podcast Locked On Nuggets. Have a good one.